He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, July the 19th edition of the Best Stocks Now, or is it Best Inverse Funds Now show? Which will it be today? This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual money management registered investment advisor with clients all across America. It was a day yesterday where the markets were up, looking real good, and then all of a sudden turned to the downside. Dow was down 216 yesterday. The NASDAQ was 92. We're off to a good start so far this morning. Will it hold? Well, we'll see. Right now we've got the Dow up 236, 314 now. That's 1%. The Dow's up 1%. While the S&P 500 is up 44 points, the NASDAQ's up 111 points. That's 1%. That seems to be the magic percentage today. Crude oil is down $1.23 after a big day yesterday. It's at 101.37. It is back above 100. Gold down 97 cents. Gold continues to go nowhere, 1709. The 10-year is at 2.97. And last time I looked, the 2-year was at 3.16. So we are in an inverted yield curve situation by about 18 basis points right now. And last but not least, Bitcoin's up 107 to 22,264. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now or Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 23 years in the business as a professional money manager, former analyst. I've been doing the show for 23 years, been writing the newsletter for 23 years. Hopefully I can bring something useful for you here today. And what has been a seesaw market here recently? Not only is it seesaw from week to week, but it's seesaw within the day, intraday. Look at yesterday. You had the Dow up about 300 at one point in time. And then there was a report put out by Bloomberg about Apple reportedly planning to slow down hiring and cut expenses going into 2023. And that sent the market in a complete reversal, an entire 180 degree turn, and the Dow ended up down 216 yesterday, and the S&P was down 32. Well, today we're off to a good start. We've had a lot of earnings reports, mostly amongst the banks. And a few, a little bit of tech and a little bit of energy. We're going to go through those energy or those earnings reports because I really believe that that's going to determine where the market goes from here. We've got this seesaw action taking place, and in essence, it's sideways. Okay, one day you got a 300 point move, the next day you have a 300 point down move. So we really don't have a direction in the market right now. It's a sideways market. There's reasons to be optimistic on the upside. I talked about that yesterday and over the weekend in my newsletter. I think the biggest reasons for optimism is that a lot of the overvaluation has been taken out of the market. You've got a forward PE on the S&P 500 that's down around 16 right now, when it began the year at 23. And, of course, you've got a lot of individual stocks whose ratios, whether it be price to earnings, price to sales, price to cash flow, have come down considerably over the last many months. And there's reasons to be cautious here. You know, you've got a 22 basis point inversion in the yield curve right now. It's been a long time since we've had an inversion in the yield curve. That's usually a pretty good predictor of the of a coming recession. Many believe that we're currently in a recession right now. We had a negative quarter last quarter, and we could very easily. Now, the second quarter is done, okay, and we'll hear the results. I'm not sure what day that GDP report comes out, but it could very well be negative, which would mean two quarters in a row of recession, which would equal a recession. And, of course, that's the textbook description of a definition of a recession. And I think the market's already probably priced in a mild recession, a two-quarter recession, caused by those extreme energy prices going up. I've got a lot to say on that today because there's another big pressure that could come along here today, tomorrow, this week, that would put even more pressure, upwards pressure on energy prices. And, you know, you still have the supply chain. You've got the Ukraine invasion. So there's still a lot of factors. The strong U.S. dollar is not helping the global companies at all. Today you had Johnson & Johnson guide lower. Why? Because of a strong dollar. And they do a lot of selling overseas. So there's plenty to be pessimistic about. There's plenty to be optimistic about. We'll see which way the market tilts. In my opinion, it depends on these next few weeks of earnings reports. So it's going to be really important to analyze them as they come in. And there were several important ones that came in today. We continue to have hot inflation, too. There's another reason to be on the cautious side of things. How much is that going to hurt the consumer? The consumer is spending more money on just the basic needs of life, which leaves them less money to spend on the discretionary items of life. You've also got the companies with their, some of them, their margins being squeezed because of the greater prices they're paying for the ingredients that go into the products that they sell. And the inflation is not just restricted here to the U.S. The Eurozone reported their final numbers today for the month of June, 8.6. Okay, we were 9.1. They were 8.6. There's reasons to be fearful and nervous about that inflation number. Last week, economist Arthur Laffer, said that he sees inflation accelerating and very difficult to put back into the bottle. We are throwing monetary policy at it with interest rate hikes. That's causing interest rates to go higher. That's bad for the housing market. That's bad for construction. That's bad for lenders. And it's bad for consumers that use credit to buy things. So there's the cross currents that we have right now in the market. I always say that at the end of the day, it comes down to earnings, and that's why I'm watching the earnings so closely. I will be updating my forecast every week in the newsletter. It's vital to follow along with those earnings forecasts. I think that the multiple has come down about as low as it can go. I don't think there's any more downside risk to the multiple. That's the biggest reason you've seen the S&P 500 target price in many cases come down from 5,200 to 4,200. They've come down 1,000 points. Why? Because we're using lower multiples because of a higher interest rate environment. Now, the other part of that equation is earnings. We multiply that multiple by earnings. And we know where the earnings estimates are right now, where the consensus estimates are for this year and next year. We're using a multiple that's pretty universal right now. But there's now risk to those earnings estimates. Will the companies come in and report better than expected earnings? And will those earnings estimates go higher after this quarter is done? or will there be enough warnings? Johnson & Johnson, for instance, lowered their forecast going forward. They're a big player in the S&P 500. How many companies will lower their estimates? And will it be enough to take down the consensus estimates for this year and next year? And those all-important S&P 500 target prices. That's what's in play right now. At the end of the day, in real estate, it's location, location, location. In the stock market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. And we'll talk about those earnings when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. That's the kind of market that we are in right now. I own both right now because the market really has no direction. It continues to be a sideways market. There's not any leadership. Last week there was one sector that was up, and that was the oil and gas sector. The healthcare sector has been pretty pretty good here recently, not a bad sector. And the solar stocks also have had a little bit of leadership, a little bit of leadership in the electric vehicle, the EV stocks. But all in all, there's just not a lot of leadership in the market at the current time. Tech is pretty much, I think the best way to describe tech is dead in the water right now. It's getting a little bit of excitement out of this potential semiconductor bill that's supposedly going to be passed this week. But, you know, that's probably only going to be good for the companies like Intel, Applied Materials, KLA, Tencor, etc. Not so good for the AMDs and the NVIDIAs of the world. It's more about foundries and building chips here in America versus overseas. Now, there is some big news out there that I want to go through, especially on the energy front. But first we'll say June housing starts unexpectedly fall. Well, that should come as no surprise. Demand for houses has gone down because interest rates have gone up. Now, for me, this is the biggest story of the day, okay, because of the ramifications it might have. President Biden could declare a climate emergency this week. That's according to the Washington Post. Well, we know that last week he floated a package to spend more money on renewable energy, and it was blocked by Joe Manchin. I don't know where Sinema stands on it. And so he said he would go around it with an executive order. And that executive order looks to be the declaration of a climate emergency. President Biden is looking to salvage his environmental agenda. Now, what would be the ramifications of that? Well, it could redirect funds for clean energy projects. I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing the solar and the renewable stocks doing well. They're expecting favors or favorable rulings that would give them more money, maybe extend their tax breaks, maybe incentives for going to green energy. So while it would be good for the green energy projects, it could restrict offshore drilling, or even curtail the movement of fossil fuels aboard ships, trains, and pipelines. In other words, constraint to the supply chain, right, of oil, natural gas, fossil fuels. Now, I don't know about this going overseas to help Europe. I don't know what that would do. But you would think that if that were the case, it would further drive up prices for gasoline, okay? I mean, you'd think that would be the natural outcome. If you're going to curtail the movement of fossil fuels aboard ships, trains, and pipelines, well, there's no other way to ship it, okay? You think that would drive prices up. He's also may use the Defense Production Act to ramp up output of renewable energy products. Well, you know, China right now has about a 95% market share of producing renewable energy products, such as, and the main item are the solar panels. Well, any executive action, according to the Washington Post, would face the reality of high gas prices as well as a likely court challenge. And, of course, Biden tried to pass a $500 billion or float a $500 billion program last week, and Joe Manchin stood in the way. He's against any further spending right now. Democrat side says there's probably nothing more important for our nation and our world than for the United States to drive a bold, energetic transition in its energy economy from fossil fuels to renewable energy. This comes from Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon, Democrat from Oregon. This also unchains the president from waiting for Congress to act. In other words, an executive order. So I think that's a very big story, one to be watched going forward. Now, there's been a lot of, I don't know if it's coincidental or it's just, you know, who knows? Sabotage? I don't know. But there was a big force majeure declared yesterday on the Keystone Pipeline, which does operate, by the way, in certain areas of the world. But they had a key pump go down yesterday caused by a power outage at a South Dakota pump station. And that pipeline is going to be down for a while. Now, this comes on the heels. Remember, 20% of the LNG production in America was taken offline by a fire at a refinery in Texas. So there seems to be a lot of issues with the supply chain, which provides the gas that we put into our cars. Fund managers are more bearish than the Lehman days. Well, I'm a fund manager in a way. I manage individual funds. I don't manage a mutual fund or an ETF. I treat my individual funds more along the lines of a hedge fund, I suppose, by using hedging from time to time when I think it's necessary. Well, I'm not extremely negative, but I'm not extremely optimistic either. I guess I'm kind of in the minority because fund managers are more bearish than in the Lehman days. Well, that's a good sign. That's a good contrarian sign. But on the other hand, like I say, there's reasons to be cautious right now. Risk exposure by fund managers is even lower than it was when Lehman Brothers collapsed, according to the latest survey from B of A out Tuesday. 58% of those polled in the July fund manager survey says that they are taking lower than normal risk. Well, I'm definitely in that camp. I have way less than normal risk out there right now. Doom and gloom was the overall tone of the survey of 293 panelists with $722 billion in assets under management. So, anyways, there's one side that says, well, when the fund managers are bearish, you got to be bullish. But are the fund managers bearish because of some pretty good reasons? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. What will we be talking about today? Well, there's still a little bit more news. There is a biotech with some good news here today, Apellis. A-P-L-S. That looks like the hot biotech of the day. It's up 26%. On 1,700 times normal volume, as they get good news. The USDA, U.S. Food and Drug Administration, gives them priority review for their drug to treat macular degeneration. So that's good news. Take a look at APLS. There's a lot of companies working on that. Regeneron has Eylea, and there's other companies out there working on macular degeneration, which actually puts a lot of people into nursing homes. So if we could find something to slow down that macular degeneration, that'd be a good thing. Apellis, APLS, up 26% today to $56 per share. So we're always rooting for companies like that. Okay, the semiconductor bill, which could happen this week, it was drafted by Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer and other officials, that aims to deliver roughly $52 billion in subsidies in order to entice advanced semiconductor manufacturing to the United States and away from China and other potential countries of conflict. Well, we also heard the news of Paul Pelosi putting a bunch of money into NVIDIA. He actually exercised some options on NVIDIA last week. And there were a couple of others. I can't remember the other two that he was investing in. But I see that NVIDIA and AMD actually oppose the bill. They think it will only help certain companies. And those on the receiving end, and I've noticed some very good action in KLA recently, which is KLAC. That stock's up about $50 per share in the last 2 weeks, KLA. It's definitely caught my eye. And also Applied Materials. Now, what they have in common is they don't actually produce semiconductors. They produce the equipment to make semiconductors. So, you know, the thinking is it would be that building of these facilities to make semiconductors would be good for the semiconductor equipment makers. Intel's also had a pretty good run of about 10% over the last 4 or 5 days. So they look to be the main beneficiaries of this. AMD recently, AMD's chart is okay. It bottomed. It has bottomed at 71.60. Will it hold? It's up $12 per share over the last 2 weeks. So that's about, 18% gain over the last couple of weeks in AMD. And NVIDIA is landed at 140 3 weeks ago. It's at 164, so it's up about 14% from its bottom over the last 2 weeks. Well, okay, climate emergency. That means more than likely gas prices are going to go higher. And the supply chain for the combustible engine car is all clogged up. I continue to drive by new car lots, and there's not a whole lot of cars on their lots. We're waiting for this big transition, which will give us more to choose from in the electric vehicle space, and hopefully drive prices down in the electric vehicles. Then, of course, there's the whole, you know, problem of the infrastructure for electric vehicles. Somebody wrote to me who lives in southern Florida. They say, well, what happens if there's a hurricane and we all have to evacuate and we all run out of electricity at about Jacksonville? Well, these are problems that have to be addressed. There's not enough charging stations out there. Well, General Motors is going to unveil the all-electric Chevy Blazer. Remember the Chevy Blazer SUV? Competed, I think, with the Ford Bronco at the time. It's expected to arrive in showrooms beginning in the summer of 2023. Okay, so that's a year out. At starting prices ranging from $45,000 to $66,000, the range is estimated to be 320 miles. So do the math. You're in Boca Raton. There's a hurricane approaching. You're ordered by the governor to evacuate. And you've got a Chevy Blazer, you can get 320 miles and you're out of juice. How do you get out of Dodge? That's just my question and a lot of other people's question. Now here's the bad news. The Chevy Blazer electric vehicle will be produced at GM's plant in Ramos Arizpe, Mexico, which is where the traditional Blazer, the combustible engine Blazer, is assembled. So, we're still waiting. You can take a make a reservation now for a year out. It's all you need is $100 and reserve your Chevy Blazer. Now, if you look at GM stock, it hasn't been very good recently, although it does look like maybe there's a bottom being put in there. I saw a prediction by Kathy Woods, which I always look at with a jaded eye, given her track record of being wrong so much. She thinks that the legacy car makers like Ford and GM can lose 60% of their value in the coming years. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, they're going to go head-to-head as best they can with the pure EV makers like Tesla. And maybe Lucid someday, maybe Rivian someday. But that's her prediction. GM is $34 a share. It has lost 50% of its value since the beginning of the year. It's down way more than the overall market. And ditto Ford. Ford started the year at 26, and now it's 13. It's down 50% since the beginning of the year. You know, there's very few stocks. I'm going to do a sort on my database. One of the statistics that I record every day is the year-to-date performance of each individual stock, and I do it year by year. I just wonder what percentage of stocks this year, I'm going to guess it's about 10% or less, are actually up this year. Not a lot. And there's a lot of 50% losers this year. A lot. You know, consider that Ford and GM, the two big automakers in America, how's the economy been to them this year? How has the market been to them this year? Both those stocks have lost 50% of their value. Now, on the other hand, another stock that is now involved in a trend reversal. And it's of note because back in 2020, I called the bottom in the market the Boeing bottom. Oh, there was more reasons that I felt that the market had bottomed on March 16th of 2020, but one of them was Boeing hitting 100 and starting to go sideways. Well, Boeing hit 117 here recently and has been going up ever since. That's one of the best-looking charts in the entire market. Boeing is starting to get orders again. Could that bode well for the rest of the market? Let's not forget, Boeing is a member of the Dow. And it's part of that move upwards in the Dow today. It was part of the move upwards in the Dow yesterday until the big turnaround towards the end of the day. But Boeing is up 4.2% today. But more notably, there's an example, one of very few. There are very few stocks that have reversed from a downtrend to an uptrend. Well, Boeing bottomed back in the late May, started going sideways. It went sideways for 2 months. That's about what it takes to build the bottom. There's not a lot of bottoms out there that are 2 months in the making. But Boeing finally broke out of that bottom about 6 or 7 days ago, trading days, and now it's reversed its downtrend from a number 4 downtrend to a number 3 sideways trend to a number 2 uptrend. Boeing. They win orders for 66 more 737 MAX jets. I don't know where those orders are coming from. Australia's Bonza Airline and Canada's Flair Airlines. So Boeing seems to be back. One of the few. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. I talked to people all over the country this week so far. Barry is over in Europe. He'll bring us back reports on how things are going in Europe. I'm handling the phone calls. I've been all over the country this week, and I've never left my office. I've been to Philadelphia. I've been to San Francisco. I've been to Minnesota. I've been to Texas. It's interesting to hear from different folks from around the country on what they're seeing in their neck of the woods. If you'd like to talk to me, I'm the guy handling the phone calls here. The appointment center, Edie, is gives me my directions every day. I do the calls while I'm managing money. You can set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Okay, I want to go through a few earnings reports here. Okay, so IBM, I mean, they're a pretty good bellwether company. They're not exactly cutting-edge technology company anymore, but that's a very poor report, very poor. That stock is down almost 7% right now. They had weaker cash flow guidance, okay? And IBM also does business overseas, and I'm sure that the strong dollar is hurting them, and that could be part of that cash flow problem. Johnson & Johnson is definitely a bellwether company. Yeah, you know, a very tepid report out of Johnson & Johnson. The stock is up 0.5%, but I think the most important thing coming out of their report was they cut, not by a lot, by a little. They cut their guidance for this year, and I believe next year, and also their sales. And what are they citing? Well, exactly what we've been warning about. A strong U.S. dollar, and that is having a big impact. Now, I have seen the dollar back off a little bit recently, but overall, the dollar remains very strong, and that's hurting the emerging markets that have a lot of debt, and it's hurting our U.S. companies that have a lot of global exposure. Let's see, Novartis, they had a decent report, up 3.9%. They say their earnings are on track. Now, here's another bellwether stock from a completely different industry than IBM and Johnson & Johnson that missed their Q2 estimates, and they gave their full-year guidance. They cut their full-year guidance. That's Lockheed Martin. Okay, so all of these are components of the S&P 500, and every time they report, we change the numbers on that one company in those aggregate earnings for the S&P 500. Lockheed Martin was down about 2 or 3% not too long ago, and right now it's about flat on the day. It's barely down, but they did miss their earnings, and they cut their full-year guidance. Now, let's go to the oil and gas industry, Halliburton. Halliburton reported they beat by 4 cents. They guided a little bit higher. And the stock is up 0.5%. Not that exciting for Halliburton. Hasbro, okay, so that's in the leisure sector. Toys, games, that stock's up 2.4%. But they beat their earnings a little bit, but their revenue fell short, so nothing to really get excited there about. A few more banks reported today. Truist Financial, TFC, it's up 2%. I'd say overall the banks, you know, maybe a grade, a B-minus, something like that. Citigroup was the big winner. Citigroup had the best earnings report. And then Citizens Financial, which is a little bit smaller, a regional bank, it's up 1.6%. And then there's Signature Bank. It's up, it's down 10%. That's in the New York area. That's a pretty big bank, $11 billion in market cap. They beat by 20 cents. Their revenue was in line, but something went wrong there. That stock's down 8.9%. And then Ally Financial, not a good report, down 2.8%. Netflix will report tonight after the close. That's the big one. Okay, a few stocks jumping off the page for me. The first one is a smaller chip stock, which could benefit definitely from the semiconductor bill because they're more in the equipment end of the business. Axcelis Technologies, I've owned it in the past. ACLS, that's a nice trend reversal in that stock. All of a sudden it has a relative strength of 94. It's pretty highly ranked in the app. That stock's up 5.9% today. ACLS. And then the other one that jumps off the page for me, I've been tracking this one for several weeks. It's kind of a low-tech stock, Digi International, DGII, out of Minnetonka, Minnesota. I had one person ask me, when are you coming back to Minnesota and putting on a workshop and everything? You know, I guess I got to start thinking about that. COVID seems to be on the back burner for now. Maybe I've got a window of time to head back there. So we'll think about it. I'm going to put it on my to-do list. DG International, DGII, is breaking out. That's a fantastic breakout. I don't know what the news is. It's up 5.2% on 3x normal volume, and it's highly rated in the beststocksnowapp.com, which ranks over 6,000 different stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs on a daily basis. It's absolutely my roadmap daily. Absolutely. I go through that database. That's my day. You know, beginning as soon as the show is done, I'm going to look at everything I own. I'm going to go through my A-plus momentum list, look at every chart. I'm going to go through my B-plus or better ranked stocks. There's 315 today. Anything moving up in rank, all kinds of different angles that I take. And I'm probably looking at 1,000 charts a day. But I go through the entire database of 6,050, looking for anything. It's a constant quest to find the best stocks or best inverse funds. Now, if you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST, to get the weekly newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day.
This is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.